Mark Twain once said, "Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter." In Ireland, people over the age of 66 are considered to be retired. But what does the label retired mean to those who must wear it and to the wider community around them? In this five-part documentary series, we speak to people in the community who have retired and ask them if age is really just a number. Denise Fitzgerald, a well-known photographer in East Cork, describes how she felt when it came time for her to retire.
It was a sort of an adjustment time, really, because I've been working since I was 15 and I didn't retire till I was 71. So my life was very filled with family and working and everything else. And then when I retired because I felt it was time to retire rather than because I wanted to retire. But it was a shock, really. I wasn't ready for it at all. Despite my age, I wasn't ready for it because I suppose it might have had something to do as well with the type of work I did. I suppose if you're sitting in an office or you're in a shop or whatever it is, you mightn't meet as many people as I did in my working life. So I was involved with people all the time, out and about with people. And there was always gossip and news and chats and, you know, how's your daughter and what happened to your son. And I was very involved with people's lives from one end of the day to the other. And then all of a sudden, one day I got up and that was the end of it. Nothing. It was a shock, really, when I realised it. And I suppose I had a sense of how do I go about, what do I do, like, where do I go from here? How do I go from here? It wasn't easy because all the people that I had grown up, you know, over the years that I knew, they had all, especially the people my age, they had all finished work much earlier and they were into routines with their other friends. They had coffee on a Wednesday morning, they went to the gym on a Thursday, they met for a walk on whatever it was. And all of a sudden, I'm there and I have no routine. And no social routine with friends or people of my own age. And it isn't the easiest thing in the world to break into something. You know, you can't go along to these four ladies who meet every Thursday morning and have coffee and chats and catch up and say, can I come? It isn't done like that. From going to where I was stopped in the street because of my work, they'd stop and say, look, there's such and such thing on. And everybody would stop and ask me to go and print that and the other. All of a sudden, nobody was coming up to me anymore. Nobody needed me anymore. They didn't need my services anymore. They didn't need anything that I was doing anymore. So that was a bit of a shock as well. And I suppose the third thing then was that because I would work unsociable hours, I'd be out in the evenings. All of a sudden, I'm at home every evening and then my husband is there and it is all strange again and I'm bored and he wants to watch his sport and rightly so. So it was a whole new aspect of learning. It was difficult.
Shane Murphy, psychotherapist, describes how the move to retirement can affect some people's mental health.
Well, it's a massive struggle, you know. I mean, to literally go from working 50 to 60 hours to nothing. And I mean, you know, one of the things that's very, very important for people is routine. And when you're in a routine of getting up in the morning, going for your breakfast, then going out and having your busy day and then coming home, and to literally be doing that on the Friday and then the Monday morning you wake up and you go, I have nothing to do. I have no purpose. I have nothing that I want to do in life. What are my goals? You know, I mean, anyone that works in an organisation or works in any work, you have your goals, you have your strategies to do, and suddenly you don't. So you're literally going from running at 100 miles per hour to literally stopping. And a lot of people struggle with that because mentally speaking, we can't go from stop to go. You know, it's supposed to be a gradual process. It's supposed to just happen kind of more organically, you know. But I mean, people who are just literally going from 100 to zero overnight is just it's a huge effect mentally. You know, people will get, you know, suffer from depression straight away, anxieties, you know, anxious about the future, anxious about what's going on. But I mean, the big thing is definitely depression. They will, you know, people will get, you know, sad. They'll have no purpose, no reason to get out of bed. They'll be staying in bed longer. They'll just literally struggle to try and find an identity for themselves. And you have to understand, a lot of people will have had an identity around work. They will be someone that will have been, you know, have been a corporate executive, you know, someone who would have run a supermarket. Someone has done so many different things in life, and that would have been their identity of who they were. People would have said, oh, there goes John, he's the shopman. Oh, there goes Paddy, he's the postman. Oh, there goes Breda, she's the photographer. And they would have had that identity as part of who they are. And then suddenly that's gone from them. So in the end, they're just John. And yes, John is a fantastic person, but I mean, when you're attached to that identity of being someone else, you know, you kind of have that stigmata, that, you know, that pride in who you are, the pride in something that you've worked at for 35, 40 years of your life, and suddenly it's gone. Suddenly you're a nobody. That's an awful lot to expect from somebody else, somebody to go from a somebody to a nobody overnight.
I remember meeting somebody one day out walking. This is only now maybe a year or two ago. And I was saying, what do you do? Like, what do you do? What do you do? This person I spoke with. And I was talking to her about it. She's retired as well. And she said, why don't you, there's a new blast. So I said, oh God, I don't know. No, that suited me at all. Because I'd go down there and I'd be trying to take over. Do you know what I mean? My usual. But I did go down. And there was lots of things, and they do a fantastic job. Mightn't be all for me, mightn't be what I would like. Then the COVID came and that put that. But outside of that, I would have known myself, because of my work, I would have known what was on. But it's one thing to go in and take photographs. It's another thing to stand at the door and say, can I come in and join you? You know, when you don't have a camera around your neck or a notebook in your hand. So I didn't. I just didn't do anything, really. Now, I'm very lucky in that I play bridge. I suppose that really saved me more than anything else, because there's bridge three nights a week. But then, of course, COVID did away with that again. But I enjoyed it because it keeps the head going, you know, and you meet people and whatever it is. But other than that, really, there was very little that I could empathise with, or that I could walk in on my own and just say, can I join, or whatever one needed to do, you know.
On March 28, 2020, the HSE introduced cocooning for people over the age of 70 in a bid to protect them against COVID-19. Denise and her husband were amongst thousands of people who were advised to stay at home.
First, cocooning, as you call it, it was sort of a novelty, really, in this respect, that it's like a contradiction now. What I'm going to say is there were no pressures on you to go out, which is a total contradiction to what I just said. But if you know what I mean, I was never one for lying around in jammies or housecoats or jackets or whatever it was. I was always, and all of a sudden, as the weather was lovely, I didn't have any commitments. I didn't have to go anywhere. I couldn't go anywhere, rather than that I didn't want to go anywhere. And it was a novelty, I suppose, at the time, to know that I'm not staying at home because I've nowhere to go, but rather because I'm not allowed to go. It's slightly different. You don't feel then as, what's the word, like if I were at home and I'd nowhere to go because nobody wanted to see me or nobody would be interested, it's a very big difference than being at home because I can't go. And I quite enjoyed it, which is a total contradiction to what I've just said a while ago, but it's just the way it is. I made a commitment to myself. I would never wear pyjamas around the house, and I would put my makeup on every single day, and I would do my hair. And I did. I did that. And then I sat feeling like an idiot watching Judge Judy or something with my hair done and my makeup on and whatever it was. But that's what I did and what I still do. It's the only thing I will say is I speak more with friends on the phone now and online and that sort of thing. We're more in communication that way. But I do miss not going out for the coffee or the tea, taking a walk together, which you can still do now, but it's not the same, you know. It's not the spacing and everything. It is difficult. It's very, very difficult. And both of us, and my husband and I, because he's used to going out as well. And then all of a sudden, here we are looking at each other over the armchair. Well, I'll tell you something, I resent it in this respect, that at my age, right, I'm 74, and at my age, and having worked all my life, and my husband worked all his life, this should be our time. This should be the time when we, all our children are grand, thank God, and our grandchildren. We should be able and could, and, you know, financially, we're not wealthy people now, but we have enough earned that we don't have to worry for the rest of our lives, hopefully. So because we're sitting there, I feel resentful because I don't have enough years left in my life to waste. There's 1 year gone already, a year of my retirement, when we could be building up new things to do together, Michael and I. We've a property abroad. We haven't seen it for a year and a half. Don't know when we'll see it, and it's nothing to do with anything except that we liked going out to the sun and enjoy, you know, relaxing. We'd love to go up to Dublin to some concert. We'd love to go somewhere else, and we should be able to go. We won't be able to do it in 3 or 4 years' time because we'll be too old. So I feel that when you say the best years of your life, they are being taken. I'm on about COVID now. Those best years are months or weeks of my life are being taken from me. And if this goes on for another year or year and a half, which it may well, then I'll be 76 or whatever it is, and then I won't be able to do then what I can do right now. So it's a double whammy, if you like.
What I'm hearing a lot from a lot of people and a lot of clients that are of that age is one of the things is that they're adults. And being told that they have to do these things is probably one of the biggest things that they struggle with. And I understand that it's complete loss. Like, I mean, you know, some people were looking forward to retirement, were looking forward to the things that they were going to do in their life. And we're a year into it now at this stage. And, you know, we're being told that 2021 really is a write-off as far as travelling. And when you get older and you value life way more than you do when you're younger, you know, as we all get a little bit older, you know, I'm in my 50s now, you know, I kind of look forward into life and kind of go, I'm valuing more and more because the time is getting less and less. So when you're in your 70s or you're 75 years of age, you're literally thinking, I might not be alive next year. You're not thinking, I might not be alive in 10 years or 20 years time. And when there's that short span in front of you, you do feel like you're robbed. You feel like it's been taken away from you and stripped away from you. And you know, as I said at the start of this, you know, a lot of people are struggling around the fact that they're struggling around the fact that they can't, they're being told by other people, they're 75, they're 80 years of age, and they're being told by younger people that they're not allowed to move outside their own house for their protection. They're not allowed to interact with their loved ones. Some people go into retirement and say, I can't wait to have time with my grandchildren, have time with my children, have time with my friends. And it's gone. It's completely gone. And bear in mind, a lot of people are kind of out there at the moment cocooning on their own. They've lost a loved one. They've lost their husband. And this whole lockdown that they're experiencing is completely cutting them off and isolating them completely. And all they have is their thoughts about all their losses that they have. Their anger, their frustration, their, you know, betrayed by the people that they, you know, I mean, the government and everybody else that it is. So it's completely understandable that they would feel that way.
The majority of people do not consider what their life will be like after they reach retirement age. I asked Denise if life in her 70s is as she expected it to be.
Certainly for me at 30s and 40s, I was only interested in me at that time. If I heard of a woman who was 74 then, if I heard then of a woman who was 74 going to a dance, I'd say she's out of her mind. I mean, at 74, God almighty, the woman, there's nothing left. It's different when you reach it. I couldn't say at 74, that or 73, I won't be 74 till June, I can't say that I feel tireder than I did when I was 34. I know I can't do as much, but I would put as much into the day relative to my ability as I did when I was 34. I wouldn't want to do what I was doing at 34. I wouldn't be able for it. But that doesn't mean that you can't have the jollies and you can't organise things for yourself that make life good. And this is what we all hope. My mother worked up. My father wasn't well. He had emphysema. He didn't work for many, many years. My mother did, but she was a bit like me, really. She liked going out. She worked in the opera house, in the cashier desk there, and she liked going out, and she loved her style. And to do that, she had to work, really, because they didn't have what we have now, you know. And she loved it, but my dad wasn't able to go. But I thought they were very, very old at 7. My father died when he was 63. So I thought my mother was very old at 74, 73. I thought she was ancient, you know. When I look back now, I wonder I don't even know how she felt, because she lived alone, like. She came to us for a while, all right, she lived with us. But she was, no, I'd say she enjoyed her life. I couldn't live alone. I'd find it very difficult to live alone. Like, for me, that's the big horror, would be living alone. I'd hate it. The biggest misconception about age from the younger people's point of view would be, in my opinion, would be to think that the older people haven't got it anymore. They have. They have. We all have, in different ways and in different levels. But not to write people off because they're older. People still, they mightn't be able to do, they won't be able to do the things they did when they were young. But that doesn't mean that they haven't their own aims to suit their age. And that would be as exciting or as fulfilling, in my opinion, to them at 80 as it would to them, the same people, at 38. Only different. So that there's nothing to stop you from living or hoping, but the level comes down. You're only able to do, like, you might have a 76-year-old man might, or woman might have as their pleasure each day, a walk for half an hour, and watching the news at 6 o'clock, and going to bed with a book at 10 o'clock. I'm just pulling these out of my head. To an outsider, to a young person of 30, oh, sweet lamb of Judea, if I ever got to that, like, to that person, that is all they want, and that is how they are fulfilled. Doing what they want to do every day, at the time it is, have a routine, and enjoy the things that they set aside for themselves. Make cooking a nice meal for themselves each day, or every second day, or whatever it was. But that's the target. It might seem sad. It might seem... Somebody listening to this now would say, sweetest lamb of Judea, if I thought that is all I could do at 80 years of age, who'd want to live that long? I can assure that person that what the 70s and 80s do in their lifetime at that age is every bit as satisfying, I would think, for me certainly, is as satisfying and fulfilling as what they're now doing at their age. So don't ever think that, oh God, I'd hate to end up like Mary Murphy up the road. All she does is go to the shop every day and home. Mary Murphy up the road has as fulfilling for her age group as maybe those have for theirs.
Presented by Linda O'Connell. Produced and edited by Sean Healy and Linda O'Connell. Researched by Marie O'Connor and Monica Canary. Supported by the Ireland Fund. Broadcast by CRY 104 FM.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.